You grew up surrounded by very strong women, which must have helped you later on.
Oh, it did. My great-grandmother on my grandmother's side, too, she was a very strong woman. I always admired her. She lived in Cache, and she was surrounded by my great-aunts and uncles. She was so like a queen. She sat in a big chair because she was quite elderly at the time, and she had a cane. I learned to pay attention to elders because they would pet me and tell me how pretty I was or something sweet and also connect their kinship to me. I needed that kind of affection from them, and so I learned how to behave. And if you laugh, act silly, or talk, they'll send you out to play. So I learned to sit and listen to the women gossip and get to play. She was the matriarch of the family, my great-grandmother, and then my grandmother took the responsibility, and everybody showed her the same honor in different ways. They wouldn't smoke around her. They would behave, and all my great-aunts and uncles and her children as well.
Is there a natural respect for the elderly in the Comanches? Is that inherent of their culture?
Yes, and their knowledge and the fact that they live so long. If you became older, that means you had good medicine and you lived right.
So there's tremendous respect then of age.
Mm-hmm.
You learned to speak the Comanche language. You learned the culture, traditions of the Comanches. And so you were speaking English and Comanche at one time. You probably still speak Comanche.
I'm very poorly. I don't use it enough. Only when I'm correcting my children.
This must have been fun as a youngster. You grew up in this large family and aunts and uncles and cousins and many family get-togethers. It had to be a joyous time.
Yes. We were down in Cotton County, and they were up between Lawton and Cache. But around holidays, we'd make the journey really easy. My grandfather loves to tell that he had the first car in Cotton County. And so here he was, you know, in his braids and his horse cartwright hat. And kerchief. He always wore a kerchief. That was his tie, so to speak. So he would drive us, and particularly we had to go to the cemetery for Memorial Day and do all those things. We went back and forth, and then we would have all kinds of cousins come and spend time with us in the summertime down in Cotton County. And the reason we were in Cotton County, when they opened up our reservation in Lawton, all the people came who needed land. So all these people from outside the state who's coming to get land, this is kind of the last opening of lands in Oklahoma, an outbreak of smallpox occurred. So grandmother lost a child and my great-grandmother lost a child. And my captive grandfather went down and selected the property for my grandmother and my grandfather both because they were all involved in all of this loss of life. He remembered enough to put land where there were water, so that's where the Cache Creek, and it also had a natural spring on the property. So he did really well. But then a lot of the Comanche tribal people were in that area as well, so that we had another opportunity to be around Comanche people.
The first house you remember, did it have electricity, plumbing, and all? Tell us about it.
No, it wasn't. And there's a great story of how real electric came about the time I left home, I guess. But it was a fine house, actually. Grandfather would, only time he really hollered at us was if we didn't shut the gate so the chickens couldn't get in grandmother's yard because she wanted to have grass. A lot of the Anglo people that lived around us, they just swept their yards. She had to have grass and flowers. So one of our chores was to water those plants in the evening. So grandfather would go and draw water and put it in a large tank. And then we would, according to our size, take a bucket and take it and go water her plants. That was one of our activities in the summertime. In the morning, my grandfather would get a watermelon, cantaloupes or something, and put them under the tree to keep them cool. So when we'd get through with our chores, he would cut the melon and we'd all sit around and eat and, of course, get juice all over us and be dirty and tired from playing and whatever we were doing that afternoon. So then we'd take a bucket of water and pour it on each other so we could go to bed and not get the sheets all dirty. But it was kind of a ritual. It was just a lovely way to end the day, too. The sun was going down when all this was happening, and you were ready to go to sleep.
So electricity, when it came?
Well, my uncle went and worked in a war plant in Wichita, Kansas. He came back, and he took an old windmill and could charge a battery. So we had a battery radio and lights. We had, you know, one light hanging down, but it didn't charge enough. And when we'd walk from the school bus to come home from school, we'd listen to the radio. It was during World War II, of course. And grandfather was listening real close because I had an uncle in Germany, and he followed the war. It was interesting how he could interpret it. He could tell you where the troops were and what they were doing. He was a great admirer of General MacArthur. And, of course, we were all involved in the war. We would look for planes and like when the enemy might come, just in case. My uncle, my grandmother gave him some land and he built a house, and it was close enough that we could walk back and forth, the children anyway. So I had three cousins over there, one the same age as myself. We would dress up like Nyoka of the jungle or something and go down play on the creek. And our little cousin got into the war too, but he was a Japanese and he would attack us occasionally. We played on the creek all day long till we got hungry and come home. It was fun growing up, and in the summertime we always had a house full of cousins and the like.